hope you had a happy Christmas. It was a beautiful time around our house. We enjoyed it. Always enjoying going home, see mother, and visiting brothers and sisters. And when you think about it, just think about all the blessings God has blessed you with. You know, but every time this brings us to the end of a year, last Sunday of this year, and all of us have been blessed by God. Amen. You're blessed if you're not in the hospital or somewhere like that. You've been blessed of God, being able to be here today. But every one of us need a fresh touch from God, don't we? We need a fresh touch from God. And this morning, I want to talk about the touch of God in our lives. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Psalm 85. Psalm 85, and kind of overlook the cold and the sore throat, whatever. I felt good enough to come and be here this morning, and I just, you know, I hate to miss on a Sunday, because God has blessed us. If you're able to get up and see creation, you're able to come to church, I feel like. So Psalm 85, Lord, you have been favorable to your land. Isn't that great to know? God has been favorable to us. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger towards us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we ask that you touch our hearts again. That you stir us, Lord, that we might be revived. God, we know that you blessed us this past year. And Lord, it brings us to the end of this year. And God, we just ask this year, Lord, that coming up, Lord, that you might touch our hearts again, restore us. Lord, give us that joy of our salvation. We'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We live in a day where it's marked with violence. We see it on every hands. Someone was just talking to me last week about guarding our church in case we had trouble here. You know, we live in that kind of day. It's sad that you have to have a guard at a church. But we live in a day of murders, crime rate, immorality. We live in a day where we've really been blessed by God as a nation. We've been blessed by God as individuals, but yet we do not always live like we should for God. And because of leaving God out of our lives, many times we have these kind of things. And the psalmist here, he's begging for forgiveness. And pleads that the Lord might give him a fresh touch. Revive us, O Lord, again. Will you prolong your anger forever to all generations? Why did the psalmist pray this kind of prayer? Simply because I believe he was not satisfied with the way things were going in his life or his relationship to God in his life. And he said, God, my relationship's not exactly right with you, and I want to restore me. I want a fresh touch of your hand upon my life. Let me ask you this morning, are you satisfied with your Christianity? See, many of us are, aren't we? Many of us just kind of sit in our comfortable surroundings, and we say, well, I'm satisfied with my Jesus. But like the old song goes, I might be satisfied with Jesus, but is he satisfied with me? Is he satisfied with what I'm doing? And I thought about this. I've thought about this all the last few weeks. Do I need a fresh touch from God? And I would have to say, yes, Lord, I need a fresh touch. I need a new zeal in my life. You see, Lord, something is missing. Something the psalmist once had, he now wanted back in his life. Now, I want us to just focus in on some men this morning. Some men in the Bible who were like you and I. Ordinary men who God touched in their life. He blessed in their life, and yet they cried out, Lord, we need a fresh touch from you. The first one I think about was Moses. Moses needed restoration in his life. You see, Moses was really no ordinary man. He was a man that was called by God. He was a mighty man of God. And you may be saying, well, I can't even compare to Moses. But I think you can. I think you can compare to Moses in a lot of ways. You see, God had a special purpose in the life of Moses. And I believe God has a special purpose in your life this morning. You see, I like that little sign, God doesn't make junk. He's still working in my life. I know I'm somebody because God doesn't make junk. Well, that's the way we are. You see, God had a purpose in the life of Moses, and God also has a purpose in my life and in your life, in the life of each one of us. You see, God said, Moses, I've got a special task for you. And let's recall Moses' life. First, he was born at a time when all the newborns were being murdered. Boy, think about that. He's got a mark against him right there. Just think. If there's a decree in our land that every newborn must be murdered. Got a mark against you already. But the Bible says Moses' parents saw that he was a godly child or a good child. They knew that God had something in store for Moses. So Moses' mother made an ark and put him in the Nile River. You know the story, don't you? And it floated down, and Pharaoh's daughter found Moses, and she hired Moses' mother to take care of him. Man, isn't that God's way of doing things? You see, God so much had a purpose for Moses that even though a decree went out that all of those children should die, Moses didn't. God saw to that. And God had something real special for him in his life. And he was raised up in the finest education that the Egyptians could give. And they gave a good education. Moses had everything he would want as a child. You know, he had all the fine things of life there living in Pharaoh's house. Here he is, a Hebrew. And yet he's living, man, just well-to-do. God saw to that. Took care of him. But then upon a day, the Bible says Moses saw two Egyptians beating an Israelite. And he killed one of them. And he buried him in the sand. Moses, a man of God, taking up God's plan for his life. Taking up God's task, but he's doing it in his own way. You see, I don't believe Moses was satisfied with growing up there in the Egyptian house because that was not what God had called for him. Yes, it was God's plan, all right, but Moses now needed to be kind of pushed out a little bit. So he sees this thing happening, and he kills the Egyptian, and God didn't want him to do that. But he finds himself having to flee into the wilderness. And folks, I believe that's where you and I are. We have a plan. God has a plan for our life, and he has a purpose for our life. But many times, we get ahead of God in our life, and we jump out there and do something that is not in God's plan without asking God, and we find ourselves in the wilderness wondering, what's God going to do with my life? You see, it wasn't long till Moses found out that he was out there in that wilderness and he was still unhappy. You're always unhappy when you're wandering in the wilderness, folks. The wilderness, I want to say, is a place out of God's will. And there's a lot of Christians, born-again believers of God, that are out of God's will in our churches today. You're here, but you're not doing what God wants you to do in your life. You see? Could that be you this morning? Could that be you in your life this morning? Running from God? You know you should be doing something, but you're running from God. You feel like you have no place, no happiness in your life. That's the way Moses was. He was down there in the wilderness. He was wandering from God. He was herding sheep when he should have been talking about the shepherd, the great shepherd. But he's down there, a herder of sheep. And folks, we will never find happiness in our Christianity if we are neglecting God's will for our life. If we're shucking the responsibility that God has given us in our life, we're not going to find that. And just like Moses, folks, we need a fresh touch this morning of God in our life. I don't know about you, but I need that. I need it from day to day, time to time, month to month, year to year. Man, every day is a good day with me. I love the Lord, and I know I talk to the Lord on a regular basis. I read my Bible on a regular basis. But let me tell you something. Even doing all of that, you still need the fresh touch of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to be revived every single day in your life, because the old devil is always there to oppress you. You see? He can't possess you. You're already possessed by the Lord. But he can oppress you. He can make things in your life where you're kind of down and out. And you're always ho-hum in your life. God says, I came that you might have an abundance of life. And a lot of us are living long below that abundance of life. And we need a fresh touch. Well, the touch came in Moses' life when he said, okay, Lord, I'm down here in the wilderness, and I know you've got a plan for me. Show me your plan. And the touch of God came when the responsibilities of God are resumed in his life. You see, the children down there in Israel, they were slaves under a hard taskmaster, and they had been praying, Lord, help us. Help us get out of this slavery. Well, the one that God was going to help them get out of the slavery with was wandering in the wilderness. But God, through a burning bush, spoke to Moses. And he was touched by God at that burning bush. He got a fresh touch from God at that burning bush, and he came back to the task that God had called him for. Now let me tell you something. Your burning bush may take a different turn from Moses. But anyhow, ever how it might be, you need this morning a fresh word from God. You need this morning a fresh touch from God in your life. We all need reviving, don't we? Man, I'm just looking forward. I was thinking a while ago when Brother Teddy was singing, I was thinking, you know, we've got a Bible conference coming up here. Man, April the 28th through May the 1st, I believe it is. Bob Pittman, Steve Swofford going to be here. They're going to light our fires. But, you know, they're just preachers. They're just going to get up here and preach the Word of God. Revival will come in your life when you ask God for it. You see? They can get up here. I can have all the fine preachers up here in the world. But if you don't make an effort to come, it does you no good. If you don't say, Lord, I want to be there. I want a fresh touch from you. Every Sunday morning, we've got to commit ourselves. Somebody said this morning, well, do you feel like preaching this morning? You sound awful stopped up. I said, you know what? I've got to go preach. I said, I just got to be in God's house on Sunday morning. You see, I'd get up and go to Walmart. I can get up and go to church. If I can get up and go sit on a deer blind, brother, I can get up and go to church. You see, we got to have that kind of zeal in our life. We've got to really want to. And the question is, do you really want a fresh touch of God in your life today? Listen, some don't. No, some are just satisfied. Oh, well, preacher, I'm satisfied. I'm doing all right. I got my health. When are you going to start reading your Bible? I knew an old boy that he loved to read his Bible through every year. He made that commitment to God. I'm just going to read my Bible through every year. And you know what? He was blessed. He read that Bible through, and he'd tell me about it. He said, preacher, the more I read that Bible, the more I learn. And I said, that's the way God works. The more you study his word, the more you get into praying, the more you get into witnessing, the more you get into walking, the more you get into tithing, the more happiness you'll find. Because you're doing what God wants you to do in your life. You're literally giving yourself over, surrendering yourself to God. And that's what Moses did, you see. He finally came to the point of his life and said, Lord, here I am. I know you got a plan. I know you got a purpose. I got ahead of you. I'm down here in the wilderness. He fell on his knees before that burning bush because he was on holy ground. And he said, God, take me and use me. You see. And that's what we've got to do in our life. To say, Lord, I want a fresh touch from you. That's the only way you're going to find peace in your life. That's the only way you're going to find joy in your life, is to have that kind of relationship with God. Now, you've got to be restored, okay? Do you want to be restored this morning? That's Moses. Let's think about Elijah for a moment. Elijah needed a touch of reaffirmation in his life. You see, he needed, he made some mistakes. He made the mistaken opinion that he was the only righteous man left alive. Now, can you think of that? The only righteous man, he thought, on the earth anymore. And you know what he wanted? He said, Lord, I'm the only righteous person left on the face of the earth. I just want to die. Now, that's the way some of us are, aren't we? We feel like we're the only righteous people that there are. Well, there's two lies involved in Elijah. One, Elijah was not the only holy man left there. There was a lot of faithful people left, and there were a lot of faithful people busy for God. Some of us think, well, you know, I'm the only one up there at that church that can do anything because I'm the only righteous one up there, and there's nobody else doing anything but me. Well, I got news for you. There's a lot of righteous people in this church. There's a lot of people doing a lot of things in this church, and you're not the only righteous man here, or the only righteous woman here, or the only righteous boy and girl here. There's a lot of people here in this church that God is using in a mighty way. And, you know, Elijah wasn't the only one there, and God had to show him. And, you know, he was hiding his holiness under a juniper tree. Friends, a lot of us are like that, aren't we? We're hiding our holiness somewhere besides in God's house. And we think, well, you know, I'm right with God. That's exactly what he thought. And friends, God wants you to get out and get busy. Quit hiding your holiness. He told Elijah, he come to Elijah and said, Elijah, what are you doing down here? Well, Lord, I'm the only one at First Baptist Church in Gunbarrow's doing anything. I'm just down here by myself. And God said, no, you're not. You're not the only one. I've got prophets all up and down the situation. And you're not helping anything by hiding down here. He said, listen, Elijah, get up and go. Get up and go out. Talk about me. Tell people about me. You know, we got a lot of people, all they want to do is talk about how wicked the world is. And I know the world is wicked. We've seen that over the past few months, how wicked the world is. But let me tell you, we ought to be telling people not how wicked the world is, but how wonderful the Savior is. You see, we've got a wonderful Savior. His name is Jesus. And quit talking about our goodness and talk about Jesus' goodness. You see, that's what we need to do everywhere we go. The Bible says we ought to worship Him, for He is the one holy. Everything that I do, all the righteousness that I have, the Bible says, is in filthy rags. It don't amount to nothing unless it's done for Jesus Christ. So we need some reaffirmation in our lives sometimes, like Elijah. We think we're the only one doing anything, and God says, no, you're not the only one. And the second lie I think Elijah told is, Lord, I want to die. He didn't really want to die, or he'd have stayed where he was. They'd have been glad to kill him up there. But he was running from Ahab, wasn't he? And when you're running from God, you are discouraged. And he was discouraged. Satan wants you to be discouraged. God spoke, and Elijah felt the touch of reaffirmation in his life. And God says, Elijah, I'm still in control. Ahab's not in control. I'm still in control of the situation. My kingdom will always stand. And there are many other faithful Christians out there that you just need to get with and go on with God. Man, let's raise our heads high and quit standing around doing nothing and stand strong for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His call to do His work. And let's get moving in this new year. We've come to the end of the year, and I say, yes, we have been blessed. We've had a lot of salvations this year. We've had a lot of things happen this year. But you know what? It's nothing unless we move into the next year and carry it with us and move forward into the next year. Let's do the work of God and just quit sitting around under a tree somewhere saying, we're the only ones doing anything. Because we're not. We're not. There's other churches, there's other Christians out there that are moving forward, and we need to move forward. And we need to take a good look at last year, but look to the future with hope in our lives. Now, another man I want to talk about is Peter. Peter needed a touch of reassurance in his life. Let me tell you something. Every single one of us this morning have failed. We've all fallen short. We've all not done enough this last year, have we? I'd have to say amen to that. Oh, Peter, you know his story. He boldly claimed, Lord, if everybody else forsakes you, I'm not going to forsake you. And the Lord said, Peter, before this night is over, you're going to deny me three times. And guess what happened? The Lord knew Peter better than he knew himself, because that's exactly what happened. Before the cock crowed, Peter had denied Christ three times. And at that time, I believe when the old lightning flashed and the rooster crowed, it just crushed Peter's heart, because he was the one that said, listen, Lord, if everybody else forsakes you, I'm not going to do it. And exactly what he did. And all of us are to have done the same thing, hadn't we? We said, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to the church this next year. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to help people this year. And we have all failed and come short of that, haven't we? That rock that Jesus called Peter had become some soft mud, and he was stuck in that mud. That big, strong fisherman who knew how to fish became a whining little traitor in his life. And he needed some reassurance in his life. And folks, I've been there. I've been there where I needed some reassurance, and I had to get on my knees before God and say, God, would you do something in my life? Would you show me that you're still Lord? God hadn't failed. I had failed. And I just imagine every one of us have been that way. But you know what? God does not decide to say, okay, Peter, you failed me. I'm going to cast you out, and I'll use somebody else. No. God takes that lump of clay, like the potter he is, and starts knocking all that old stuff, remolding him again, and making him into what he should be. And praise God, he doesn't throw us away. Praise God, he picks us up and starts remolding us again. He takes us where we are, and he forgives us. And that gives us a touch of reassurance in the love of Christ for our life and the love of Christ for Peter's life. And he went forth, and he became even greater than a man than he ever was, because now he was going to become that rock that Jesus said he was all along. But he just had to be broken before he could become that rock. And folks, a lot of us need to be broken before God today so that God can remold us and make us to what we want to be. You see, no matter what you've done in your life, God loves you, and you need to know that. No matter how far you've gone, God loves you, and he wants you to come back. He wants to use you in your life. Oh, this morning, for the touch of reassurance in our ministry. Oh, this morning, for the reassurance of the grace of God in our life. Don't you want that this morning? Don't you want to know that fresh touch of God in your life this morning? Man, one thing we need is restoration in our life, reaffirmation in our life. We need that. Not only that, I want to think about the last man, Paul. What can I say about Paul? One of the greatest men ever lived. But he needed regeneration in his life, you see. Paul was a man that he hated the name of Jesus. The Bible says if ever was a man who needed Jesus Christ and needed regeneration in his life, it was him. He thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. He thought he was had zeal for the Lord, but he wanted to persecute the church, you see. And the Bible says in persecuting the church, he was persecuting Christ. And he killed innocent people. He did all those things. But God had a special touch for his life. And the Bible tells us on the road to Damascus, the light of God shone down around him and struck him down. He was blind. And he said, Paul, why are you fighting against me? And he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? You see, he needed that regeneration in his life. And the same Christ who blinded Paul that day on the road to Damascus opened his eyes. See, that he might see. And following that conversion experience, Paul became a dynamite follower, a hero of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told thousands about Jesus Christ. He led hundreds to know Jesus Christ. He started churches all over Asia Minor. He went to churches and made disciples just like God told him to. And though he was beaten, though he was stoned, though he was left for dead, he got up and went about God's business because his life had been changed. And there's a lot of us this morning in this room that need to be like Paul. We need our lives changed. We need salvation in our life. We've never really been changed. Oh, we've come to church, we've listened to the word, we've gone to Bible study, But like Paul, we've done all of these things in our own strength. And work does not get you saved, folks. You need faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Paul was one of those guys that had done this and done that. He said, if I had any room to boast, it would be me. But I can't boast outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had regenerations in his life. And he lifted up the name of Jesus for the rest of his life, because God forgave him of his sins and God saved his soul. And that's what God wants to do in your life. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been saved? If you have, you know it. If you haven't, you also know it. Have you let Jesus Christ literally come into your heart and change your heart? I don't talk about just coming down and saying a prayer with the preacher. I'm talking about a real heart change, a transplant. You see? Have you said, Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin? Really mean it in your life? Has there been repentance where you turned your life around and started back towards God? You see, if you didn't turn around your life and you just went on, you're still going in the wrong direction. For the Bible says you need repentance. Repentance is a turning around of your life, see? When you turn to God, or when you turn away from sin, you turn to something. You turn to God, folks. And when you turn to God, guess what? There's going to be the touch of God in your life. For the Bible says, when you receive Him as Lord and Savior, He will seal you with His Spirit. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. And it'll change your life. Folks, we need our lives restored like Moses. We need reaffirmation a lot of times in our life, that we're on the right road and we're not the only ones out here trying to fight. We're not the only righteous people in the world. We need reassurance many times in our life, like Peter, that no matter what we've done, God says, listen, I will give you a fresh touch. And then we need regeneration like Paul. We need the touch of God in our heart. If you're here this morning and you're like Moses, you are wandering in the wilderness. You know that God's called you. You know God's got a plan for you. And you know that in your heart. But you have done your own thing, so to speak. And you're not happy. You're wandering in the wilderness. Would you just come to God this morning and say, God, I want to be restored. I want a fresh touch from you. That 2013 might be the best year of my life. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need to be reaffirmed. God, I've been hiding, but I want to come out of hiding. I want to let you live through my life. Reassurance, He'll give it to you. Regeneration, He'll do it. But you've got to decide in your life, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life? Do you just want to do the same old thing? Come to church empty? Go out empty? If that's what you want, then you can do that. God's not going to force you, make you. He wants you to do it because you simply love Him. And you can go out of here this morning a fool. Joy overflowing, if you'll just turn your life over to Him and really mean it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. God, I thank you that you've called us as a church. You call us as individuals. You have a purpose for our life. And Lord, I pray this morning that if someone's here, that they're outside the will of God in their life, Lord, they might just come to you and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I want to be back in the center of your will. I want to do what you want me to do. If there's somebody looking for salvation this morning, Lord, they can find it in Christ Jesus. Would they come? If they're looking for membership, not just so they can join a church, but Lord, they may be used of you in this church. God, I pray that they'll come and say, I want to be used of God right here in this church. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.